Nail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Best Line Racing. Best Line Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome stick welders are in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler. Welcome, everybody, to episode 173. I'm going to go with three. Systems go. What was that? Couldn't hear it.
Oh, yeah, it was a little quiet. It's normally loud, so I turned it down.
All systems go.
Nice. So yeah, this is episode 173. I think I'm going to go with that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. We have the smart one over here keeping track for me.
The intern.
So, joining us in the studio as always is Mr. Jimmy Jet. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good. Life is good.
Good.
It's, I don't know why I've just been tired lately, but, things are going well.
Nice.
How are you?
Doing pretty good. Did you get your first vaccine shot or something? Or?
No, I'm like the last one on the list. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, me too.
A white male that's like 40 or under.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah,
I'm not going to have a shot until like September probably or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. I did hear though, I mean, for those that are interested in trying to figure out a way to sneak into getting a shot without dressing up as a granny, like those girls in Florida, volunteering at a clinic. They will vaccinate you because you're going to be possibly in contact with people.
Nice.
So I might do that one sometime.
You could just get a PE teaching job.
Yeah.
So
I would love to be a PE teacher. That'd be a fun job, I think. Yeah. Oh, you're pissing me off. Go run a mile.
Touch that tree and get back.
My father, I think, is getting his second shot today. My mom, I think, is at the end of the week or start of next week. She's within 5 days of my dad. And then the assistant is next week. She's getting her second shot.
Nice.
Yeah, as a teacher.
Yeah.
They're talking about, because Sacramento County's, I think, going down into the red soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to open schools, and her county or her district is what I was looking for, is... trying to open as fast as possible.
Okay.
And they want to open the week before spring break.
Wait, so that they're open a week and then they're done, gone a week?
Yeah, exactly. And then all the teachers are like, this is silly.
Yeah.
Like, we're all for opening back up.
Yeah.
But why open a week and have it be chaos and let the kids go and then open a week again and then it's
start all over.
Yeah, start all over and start into the chaos because they forgot already how to go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's going to have it a little rough because they're doing in-person, hybrid, and distance learning.
That sounds like college.
Yeah, kind of. So she's going to have to teach it three different ways. Like she'll have kids that come part-time, kids that come full-time, and kids that are strictly distant learning.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily three sets of curriculum, but it's like, it's building three sets of curriculum is what you're doing, what you have to do.
It's two, in a way, it's two sets because the kids that are hybrid are doing distance learning and doing in class.
Mm.
And so, you know, but the days that the kids that are, you know, so it's still distance learning and in class, but now sometimes she has more kids in class, sometimes less, sometimes more over distance learning, sometimes less, you know. And then the hardest thing for her is grading or is attendance. Like there's like now five different ways to rack up attendance where it's like, did the kid come? Did he last for more than 5 minutes? Did he do his homework? Yeah, exactly. Did he leave halfway through? You know, like they want to track all these things. It's kind of crazy, but you know, and now you're doing it for in class and out of class and so.
Yeah. It sounds like a college class, man. College
kind
professor.
Of, yeah. To some extent.
My big question is the school district investing in cattle prods?
No.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Can I make a donation towards the cattle prod?
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome.
They did invest in vaccinations, though. They bought 50 for their
Teachers?
For the teachers.
The staff?
Yeah.
Cool.
For the staff, the entire staff of their district.
Nice.
50.
Yeah, the secretary is getting she got her first shot. Mm-hmm. And then she'll be looking at getting her second shot because she works in public health. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. And then her parents are getting their second shot in 2 days here.
Nice.
So, when this podcast comes out. So, officially, like, other than you, like, most of the people that I hang out with are going to be vaccinated and good to go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'll be the lone wolf, yeah, the lame duck.
Us.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. A lot of people I see, will have already had some shots, you know, mm-hmm. or be as vaccinated as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel a little bit more safe. And what I really enjoy is that I feel safer not transmitting it to them.
Gotcha.
Possibly, you know.
So I would just like to point out real quick,
okay.
We're not a vaccination podcast
by any means,
but I have noticed a lot of rhetoric amongst the off-roading communities about vaccinations and, yeah, saying there's something wrong with when you get a shot and you get sick. And I'm like, I don't think you understand how vaccinations work. So the whole point of a vaccination is to give you a very mild form of a disease so that your body's immune system knows how to fight off the actual form of the disease if you ever get it.
Correct.
So it's if you're complaining about having a sore arm or getting headaches or all of a sudden
getting a small fever,
getting super tired, like, that's a good thing after getting a vaccine.
Yeah, your body's working.
Your body is working. It's making your body and your immune system adapt to something that could be a hell of a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so theoretically, if you're seeing really harsh symptoms from the vaccine, that means if you actually contracted whatever disease it is, you're going to get hit harder by that disease than somebody else.
Yeah.
If you're not experiencing a lot of issues from or a lot of repercussions from the vaccine, that means if you contracted the disease, your body's immune system is already pretty good and you're probably not going to be as affected by that disease.
Right.
So if you get the vaccine and you just get floored by it for a couple days, be very thankful by that.
Yeah, that you didn't actually contract the virus. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I have not a stipulation. What's the word I'm looking for? I have a theory,
mm-hmm,
that is if you get sick or a little ill off the first shot,
uh-huh,
you have never been in contact with the virus. If you get sick or a little ill off the second shot,
mm-hmm,
you've been in contact with the virus. Mm-hmm. And since the second shot's a stronger dose,
mm-hmm,
now your body's actually reacting and really fighting it off.
Yeah, I would kind of agree to that. So, and that's just how vaccines work. Like, that's what vaccines do. Yeah. So,
all right, let's move on. You know, we don't want to.
That's really been bugging me because I'm like, you guys,
yeah,
stop your bitching. That's a good thing.
All right.
Anyways.
Yep. Moving on.
This is Thursday's episode. This is
Thursday.
We did not do the giveaway drawing yet.
No.
So for February.
Not. Actually, I don't think we've received the final
report
from Patreon yet.
Okay.
Stating
so that'll
who's in or who's out.
Cool. That'll be on next Thursday's episode then. Once we just have to wait for that report from Patreon. And so once we get that, then we can run the giveaway for February. March coming up here, though, is for a Morphlite Stubby. And that is essentially the modular kits for Morphlite so that you can essentially buy one manifold and then buy multiple hoses depending on your uses that you want to use them for.
Right.
That's so cool. We can do RV setups with 45, 50 foot long hoses for your RV. We can do tandem axle setups, dually axle setups. We can do modular trailer extensions off your tow rig.
With this giveaway,
mm-hmm,
are you giving away any hose set?
Any one hose set. So you're not going to get like five hose sets.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, any hose set.
So whatever you need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So if you just need one for your golf cart AKA side by side, then that's what we can do. If you if you have a buggy and you just want a regular duo stubby duo, then we can do that as well.
Nice.
So if you need something for your tow rig, your dually F450 long bed tow rig, we can do that. So whatever you want, it's yours to choose.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Morflight.
Anytime. So
I would do a snail armor tailgate for a giveaway, but I don't feel that. I would guess that the demographic of patrons are less than half on a Tacoma.
Yeah. So you just need to get more stuff out there.
Or more Tacoma patrons. Yeah.
Yeah. Or more Tacoma patrons. There we go. We also have the reviews going on.
We do. We're trying to work in our way up to that 500 mark.
Get up to 500. We've had a couple of new ones. So getting in for that
winch giveaway. Are we over 300 yet?
No, we're at like 195, 196. Dang. So we're not even over 200.
Are we over 200 yet?
Negative.
Come on, peeps.
Come on, you guys. So yeah, we have a couple of new ones. And the way this is going to work for the reviews, we're going to be giving away a winch.
Yes.
It is. So it's a winch. It doesn't say on the outside of the box what weight rating it's rated for, and I have a bunch of parts on top of the winch and box. It's like it makes a great little stand to put crates of spindles and starters and hub assemblies and 2.28 gear sets on top of. So
what kind of winch is it?
It's an electric winch.
Okay. Is it brand?
Oh, it's a Rough Country. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's either 9 or 10,000 pound winch. So I'll dig that out and figure out exactly what the weight rating is. But we're going to give that away.
Nice. I'm excited.
To a lucky winner from the reviews once we hit 500 reviews.
Yes.
So we are currently...
And only for those 500 reviewers.
Correct. Only. So if you want to win, you got to hurry up and get your review in. At the amazing pace that we are growing our reviews right now.
Yeah. Hey, and we were 150, 180 in a year
or in a something year and like a half. That. About a year and a half. Yeah.
So it'll be another year and a half. Hopefully
we'll see. No, that only gets us to like 300.
Yeah. But we'll grow more exponentially.
Got hopefully. You.
But our goal is 500 by the end of the year.
Goal is 500 by the end of the year. So does that mean if we don't make it to 500 by the end of the year, we're not giving away a winch?
I don't know. That's your call. It's your winch. Okay.
All right. Anyway, so the one of the latest reviews here is from Austin.
Okay, Austin.
Who we got to hang out with.
Oh, nice.
We kind of talked a little bit about that on a previous episode here. Yeah,
and we can talk a little bit later about what he found.
What he found?
Didn't he rip apart the engine already?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So we can tell. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Brian, add that to the show list for today, please. So Austin says, for the snail crew, definitely authentic types of people. Got to not only buy Tyler's junk to put in my junk, but also got... By the way, don't ever say that to another guy in the future. But also got to share a few beers and have a great laugh. And good beer, of course. On top of that, I want to add how awesome Tyler and Jimmy and the assistants are to meet in person. Truly great people, and can't wait to get up there to do the Rubicon to have more beer and laugh. So thank you. Keep the podcast going. .. Is that beer red? Oh, yeah. Anyways, nice. Anyways, we like tools, Jimmy. Wink, wink, Austin.
Heck yeah.
So we don't like Jimmy's tools or tool,
but
we like
junk.
Tools, Jimmy. No, he likes my junk.
Oh.
He just likes your tool. Anyways, so thank you, Austin. It's an awesome review. It was a lot of fun hanging out with you and the lady for the day. And yeah, we'll get into a little bit here what was up with the 22RE engine that came out of Kermit that you picked up. So cool. I think that's it for updates, ? I don't think we have anything else. Oh, treasure hunts. Treasure hunt has been going on.
Yeah, it has. One of my tokens have been found.
One of your tokens have been found now.
I must not be hiding them hard enough.
Pretty much all of my tokens have been found, but I've also given a bunch away that have not been hidden yet. So the one, though, that has not been found is the very first one you hid.
I know.
And there has been 4 or 5 people that have gone looking for that one now.
Yep.
Including, I would like to point out, a guy, I believe his name was Jason, who I'll have Brian look that up real quick. But he lives in Colombia.
Right.
And he grew up in Colombia.
Yeah.
And he went to that school that's right nearby, the Colombia Middle Schooler, K through 8th grade.
The old building that's right there?
I think so.
I didn't know it was open that recent.
So, but his name is Jason Baker.
Yep.
And he said...
I think he even sent me a message, like, while he was out there.
Probably. He told me, he goes, I guarantee you I can find it. And I was like, cool, go for it. He goes, any hints on where it is? I was like, no, you're not a patron. I'm not going to tell you. I was like, you got to sign up for patron if you want to see the GPS coordinates. So he signed up, got the GPS coordinates, immediately went out there and spent like 2 to 3 hours and couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So
there's some funny memes going on in the Patreon group.
There is.
Where I hid it and yeah. Down in caves and everything going on. Yeah, it's pretty good.
People digging through rock piles down in caves. It's pretty funny. Apparently when he went out there, there was a couple of other people out there looking for it as well when he got there. So he did mention, though, I got to put this disclaimer out there, that he said that there's a lot of rocks kind of overturned and the area kind of looks pretty disheveled. So I have to put the request out there. When we started the treasure hunt game, this game here, our goal was not to have everybody go to areas and dishevel and kind of destroy them. So please be respectful of the areas you guys go to find these tokens, and leave them as you found them as much as possible.
Yes.
So
if you turn a rock over, put it back in its place.
Yes, please do that. So anyways, the very first Columbia token is still in, what is it called, at large.
Yeah.
So nobody's found it yet.
I guess I'll have to go back there and just make sure it's still there.
Yeah, I was supposed to go out there this weekend to do kind of a pre-trip run planning for a snowmobiling trip next weekend. And turns out I don't think we're going to go up to the Arnold Avery area, so I won't be going by Columbia to check on it.
Well, Columbia's passed.
It is passed, but I would be at least close to it, and I could go and check it. It's, you know, within 30, 40 minutes of...
You think you could find it?
I don't know. I know what rock pile it's supposedly in, so... I kind of told the Jason, I was like, even if I showed you the picture of the rock pile, I still don't know if you'd be able to find it.
Yeah, I was talking to the assistant, and I was like, there's 2 people out at the spot in Columbia. Neither one of them have found it. Like, one of them's literally out there right now messaging me, asking me hints.
Yeah.
He was like, is it up in a tree? I'm like, no, don't climb trees.
Don't climb trees.
If I hide one in a tree, it'll be like, you can most likely grab it from the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to risk people falling out of trees and doing that to get a token.
Speaking of that, maybe the next ones we need to put holes in so we can like actually hang them.
Yep. Punch some holes in the top and top middle with somewhere. So, the treasure hunt tokens going right along. I think there's currently 3 tokens that are still hidden. So we need to hide some more.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
well, do we have some that are not released yet?
We have one released.
Okay.
One that has not been released yet.
Okay.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
I think I know which one.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, and I'm assuming it's the one up at, is it Bassey Falls?
Yes.
Did you release the upper or lower one? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
So when you guys report the tokens to us as well, you need to give us the GPS coordinates. Because we don't really keep track of the serial numbers on them or what letter is on the token or what's associated with that particular token other than the GPS coordinates, because we don't want to know the information, because if people ask us, then if people get us really drunk or something and give us a bunch of whiskey or Fireball or something and then ask us where a letter T might be, we can't answer them. You got to go out and find these on your own. So
right.
Make sure you're reporting them with the GPS coordinates when you report them found.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So I think that's about it. Does it for updates?
Sounds good to me.
Cool. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit here about upcoming stuff.
Okay.
So,
good. What do we have that's coming up?
We have a Cruise Moab.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. So this is going to be really, really fun. A Cruise Moab happens about 1 to 2 weeks, a week and a half, 2 weeks after Easter Jeep Safari. Mm-hmm. And it is the Toyota Land Cruiser Association.
Doesn't EJS usually happen before Easter?
Usually. It's like the right. week of the week before Easter. Yeah. And so Easter this year is April 5th, which is the day before my birthday.
Yep.
And the Easter Jeep Safari, I believe, is going on that last week of March, first week of April. I'll have to double check those dates. I don't pay attention because it's a Jeep thing. So, yeah, if somebody wants to tell us, you may. Yep. Otherwise, we're going to leave it at that. But the Toyota Land Cruiser Association, well, the TLCA.
The Ultra 4 race, I think, is the Saturday before Easter on the, what would be the 4th, I think.
Oh, okay.
Your birthday.
So does that mean Easter Jeep Safari is after that?
No, it's before and during that.
Like, oh, they're doing the event at EJS.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah, there you go.
So EJS is probably during the week before, and then on Saturday is the Ultra 4 race.
Gotcha. Cool. So we're going to be going out to the Toyota Land Cruiser Association event called Cruise Moab.
Yeah.
Nicknamed after the Toyota Land Cruisers, of course.
I'm going to put a cruiser badge on Bobcat.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm going to put a cruiser body on Kermit.
There you go.
Put an FJ40 on a 4Runner chassis.
That'd be awesome. I'll have Solve Function Lee.
Oh, there you go.
Map me up one or yeah. something.
So yeah, what are we going to be doing?
Well, we'll probably do some trails. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some recordings with some peeps. Mm-hmm. I was going to talk to you before the podcast, but maybe we'll talk about it now. Okay. I was thinking about contacting Kurt Williams and seeing if he would open up the Salt Lake City Land Cruiser Museum for us, because I'm guessing it's closed. I don't know.
Yeah.
If not, maybe we can get a guided tour through that while we're going through Salt Lake City anyway.
Mm-hmm. How far away is Salt Lake City from Moab?
Yes, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Cool. But if we're going Highway 80, we go to Salt Lake City on Highway 80, and then we turn down at Salt Lake City and go to Moab.
Gotcha.
So we go through Salt Lake City if we're going up that route.
Yeah.
So.
My dad is going to be coming up from Vegas.
Yeah.
So I know that he would love to go to the Land Cruiser Museum.
Yeah.
So he'll have an extra.
Well, maybe on the way home.
On the way home, he can come back around and go down
here. Go that direction.
Yeah.
One or the other. Mm-hmm. I mean. And then we're going to set up a few interviews while we're there and get to talk to some of the TCLA people.
TLCA.
TLCA, thank you. Like Dexia. And then, yeah, I mean, did I miss anything besides go have a beer at the Moab Brewery or something?
No, that's pretty much it. The Cruise Moab event is put on by the Rising Sun off-road club, I believe, out of Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they come down and put on Cruise Moab for the Toyota Land Cruiser Association. This is the same organization that puts on the Rubathon.
Yes.
On the Rubicon area. So each year. So Cruise Moab, it's a fun event. This year it's going to be run differently than any other year in the past, just kind of like EJS like is running else. And everything else. So they're still going to do the event, but there's not going to be the dinner, the event part of the event, right? There's going to be the trail rides,
sure.
But there's not going to be dinners and meals. There's not going to be a vendor fair. There's not going to be the event side
right.
of the event. So what we're going to be doing, our plan, is you and I are going to be going up Tuesday.
Okay.
And we're going to be driving out all in one go. The secretary is going to be coming along, it sounds like. We won't know for certain until probably the week before. But we'll be going out there on Tuesday, make the whole trip out there in one day. And then Wednesday is registration day. That's when everybody shows up. In the afternoon and evening times, you pick up your registration packets for the runs on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So what we're planning on doing is hanging out in the registration area
yep.
all day Wednesday. So we'll be there. If you are coming up to Cruise Moab, find us. We'll have Kermit and Bobcat parked somewhere near the registration area. And we'd love to say hi to you guys and get you some stickers and, you know, shake hands and talk about fun stories. So come out, find us on that Wednesday. I'm not sure what trail rides we're going to go on. We haven't registered yet. But we're not sure what trails we're going to be on for Thursday, Friday, Saturday yet. So, once we know those, we'll let you guys know. And if you want to hop along, then cool. If not, then cool.
Right.
Screw you.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, Cruise Moab this year, 2021 Snail Trail Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heading to Cruise Moab.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for houses, I was looking for a 2-bedroom. So really if the secretary's coming, I need to find a 3-bedroom.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Touche.
Yes, sir. Let's see. What else is upcoming?
I found a really nice, like, 7-bedroom house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How much is it?
It was, like, $850 a night.
Oof.
It was a mansion. So maybe if we get, like,
we could stay in one room per night.
More people over to kick it with us.
Yeah.
Lee, I'm looking at you.
Lee.
Yeah. Since you have a cruiser.
And Tony. Get Tony out there.
No, Tony doesn't have a cruiser, but he's welcome to come.
He's a Tundra.
How about Cruiser Steve?
Steve.
You're awesome. You're welcome to come, too. Yeah, let's just get all of our cruiser buddies
mainly,
out there.
Mainly FJ80 from Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
Mainly? Is it Mainly? I thought it was Manly.
No, Mainly. Okay. Because he's from Maine.
I get it now. Yeah.
We got him. We can get Andre. Andre? Austin? Yeah. Andre.
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 Yep.
We can get Andre out there with his new FJ80.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch. We can get Dimitri to bring out the whale. Or he sold that, huh?
He sold it.
Oh, I thought I saw it hanging out in the yard when we were over there.
Maybe it's getting worked on. I don't know.
We can get Steve from Rancho Toyota to bring out the FJ40.
Yeah, he might be out there anyway.
You think so?
We should contact him and see.
I don't know if he can take the time off.
I'm sure he can.
I don't know.
He's the owner, isn't he?
He is the owner.
He can take time off.
Yeah, but he's one of those owners that actually works. <I know. laughs> He's not like other owners that we know, Jason, that don't work and go skiing all the time.
Rodney.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential, a lot of possibilities to have a lot of fun there and do like a big listener meetup at Cruise Moab.
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. I think that'd be really neat.
So yeah, we got Cruise Moab. That's in April. So that is April, what was that, 14 through 18? 13 through 18? Something like that.
14 through 18.
Yeah, whatever
or
that.
17 or something.
Whatever that Tuesday through Sunday are. So we'll be leaving early on Sunday. So don't plan on seeing us at all Sunday. But Wednesday through Saturday, we'll be there hanging out.
14 through 18.
Yep.
Well, Saturday's 17th. We're leaving 18.
Cool. Let's see. We also have anything else coming up, or is it now the fun we've been having?
I don't think we have anything specifically planned besides Cruise Moab right now.
Yeah, we might be able to do that because our 2-year anniversary with the podcast is going to be the beginning of May.
Mm-hmm.
So we might just kind of tie that into a 2-year anniversary thing.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah,
I was in the back of my head thinking maybe I could get Samantha ready for Cruise Moab.
You're funny.
Yeah. And then I thought about all the stuff I have to do. And I was like, yeah, that ain't going to happen.
No.
I did have a really good talk with another company, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do we need to talk off air about that?
Yeah, we probably should.
Cool. But, okay. That's exciting.
Yeah. And so that could be fun. There could be some new fun things happening.
Cool.
Since the Samantha's been sort of put on hold because we were trying to work with another company and the other company didn't really come through as well as much as we expected them to.
They didn't come through, and then they are not being responsive at all.
No.
And so it's like, we're not going to sit here and try and struggle to get product from you.
Right.
And do marketing and advertising for you. Yeah. So.
So that one fell through and, you know, we're moving on to bigger and greener pastures.
Cool.
Yeah.
What have you been up to over the past week or so?
You know, not a whole terrible lot of off-roading stuff.
Okay.
Since we last spoke, I think, I've been doing a lot of, you know, work in regards to, you know, just getting panels out. Somebody made a post on, TacomaWorld.org or .com or
the forum board.
Yeah, the forum. And about snail armor, and I sold almost half of my allotment.
Half of your inventory?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so, Hustle Nuts, I'm probably going to be calling you here in a little bit, if not today. So I've been having to step up my production on that side and make sure to get everything going. Luckily, I think I laser etched enough to kind of get over the hump of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have 3 custom designed ones come through. So that's
nice.
So I need to get those.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I did, I think I was talking about plating. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but I was having a hard time getting some screws black zinc plated.
Oh, yeah. So that you can have a completely flush, flat panel.
Yeah. And I got them back from the plating company. Mm-hmm. They look really good.
Nice.
Yeah. They're a little bit shinier than I like. They're like more of a glossy black.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, oh, that must have been our dipped version. Our barrel rolled version comes out a little bit more matte.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I was like, perfect.
Cool.
And it's cheaper because they don't have to like screw each screw into this wire rack.
Jeez.
Yeah. They just kind of throw a bunch of them into a mix and tumble it.
Nice.
So I want to still see samples of that before I send out, you know, the product to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy. It's $65 for the base price to get things black zinc plated, and that's up to 26 pounds.
Okay,
so that's more or less 26,000 screws.
Nice.
roughly.
So you'll be good for a while.
Yeah. I'm like, so if I order 26,000 screws, it's something like that. No, maybe it's 2,600 screws.
Okay.
I can't remember. But I think I ordered the last place when I got
decimal the, places don't matter.
Yeah, decimal.
You don't know.
The last place, no, I think it was, the last place was 10 pounds and I think I ordered 1,000 screws. So I think that's what, and didn't work out. So I've been working with the 1,000 screws that I had, but this place is 26 pounds. So that's must be 2,600 screws.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of screws though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be good. So does that allow you then to get a completely flush flat panel?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Perfect.
So those are currently in production and in the works.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done any advertising or marketing or talking about it. But I think that as of this point, I'm considering moving forward. I need to do a little bit more research on pricing of screws and, just figure out the the pricing and how it all breaks down. Cause this is different than the pricing that I had before. So I just need to look into it a little bit more.
Cool. Awesome. That'll be really neat though, because you'll be able to, there's a couple of really neat benefits to that. A, you will have the only flat panel in the market.
Yep.
In the off-roading market.
I'll have the flattest panel out there.
Yep. And that's something that's patentable.
Is it?
Yes. Because that's a design that gives a function.
That's cool.
So you'll be able to patent you just have to name the technology, which is a complete flat design or whatever it is.
Ultimate flat.
So the ultimate flat.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that'll be really cool to see that come to fruition.
Yeah.
On the panels. You also, I heard you went over to an auto dealer and we're looking at some Gladiators.
I did. Yeah.
How'd that go?
I was supposed to tell you last week about that.
I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
Because when you told me, you're like, hey, I'm over at whatever dealer looking at Gladiators. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
They're cool. Uh-huh. You know, they've got a lot of bells and whistles in them. They're just long.
They are.
No, I was measuring out the tailgates for them.
Ah, gotcha.
For snail armor.
Okay.
And it's fairly simple. It's actually quite similar to like how the Tundra one is done.
Mm-hmm.
But they have more screw holes. So I've got that design. I've got it measured and written up and I need to throw it into CAD.
Cool.
I was going to try to get, my goal was to get like the Gladiator the first gen, second gen Forerunners, and possibly the second gen and third gen pickups, because I have those released in my next batch. But because of the Tacoma world, like selling almost half my product, I'm probably going to have to order more of the actual stuff that I know that fits and works right now. And then order some, because I haven't even gotten samples or I haven't even done any test fits or anything yet. So I'm one batch away from where I thought it was going to be.
So. Okay. So other than that, you just kind of been working on other stuff, getting video, working on any videos. Do you have any in the pipeline?
I've got
there's a great picture of you on the Facebook page, by the way, of editing videos.
I know. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I got a new Laminex film, Laminex films. What I'm trying to figure out what I would call it. It's the film to cover your gas tank door. Because the gas, like you are always reaching in and grabbing it and, you know, and scratching it up. And so they have a whole film to kind of cover that setup.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I said, why not? Okay. You want to give me one? Sure. And I think they gave me some extras as a giveaway. So keep your eyes out for that. I'll talk about it and show you how to do it. And then there might be some freebies involved in that video.
That's for the third gen tacos?
Yep.
Okay.
And well, then I think they have them for a bunch of other ones, but my giveaways will be for the third gens.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and that's the next video, and I might try to shoot that today. We'll see how time flies.
Cool.
And I think I have, I can't remember, I had to do some reorganization on the computer because I my hard drive was crashing that had all my videos on it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Big uh-oh.
No bueno.
I found out that what it was my, something was going on with that hard drive and it wasn't working through the USB and I was trying to run like videos off of the hard drive, you know, when I was doing editing and I either too much data or something wasn't working right.
Yeah.
And so I moved all the videos off of that onto another drive. And then now I've moved a bunch of it back onto that drive, as like a storage spot.
Nice. Awesome. So, guess what I've been doing?
Oh, I know you've been up to a lot. Yes. Part of the reason I was trying to keep my end vague, because I know we were going to go for a while on everything that you've got.
We're going to go for 10 seconds.
Oh, bull.
So my flooring guy is an off-roader. Well, kind of. He likes to restore old off-road vehicles.
Cool.
My delivery drivers are off-roaders.
Nice.
I installed a welder and I have AC again. Yep. There, see, I'm done.
Cool.
So, yeah, right. I think that wraps up the show.
Perfect. Let's let's move on to Monday's episode.
Cool. No, so big shout out. I just thought it was funny. We're redoing some of the flooring in our rental right now. And the guy that came over to give us a quote is apparently into cars. Cool. So we started talking about he has an old 1970 Bronco.
Nice.
And that he's doing a frame-up restoration on right now.
Wow.
Yeah, and he has a CJ5, I forget what year it is, that he did a frame-up restoration on already.
Dang.
And it just sits in his garage, and it's on 33s, and it's a very beautiful vehicle.
Wow.
But we started talking about off-roading and kind of the stuff that I do. And we just went on talking, and it was funny because as soon as we started figuring out that we both like vehicles, the secretary goes, oh, I'm going to go do some other stuff, and walked away.
Yeah, that's what the assistant does.
Yeah.
Car talk. All right. Bye.
Yeah. So it was fun. So that's Steve. Shout out to him if he ever picks up the podcast, starts listening anytime soon. But I'm going to try and talk him into taking his gorgeous CJ5 through Gatekeeper and get it out to the bowl and get some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
On the bowl. So
that's totally doable.
It's super doable. There's just that one little squeeze spot in the middle of Gatekeeper on the Rubicon. Where it might get a little tight, but with a CJ5 shouldn't have any issues.
I was gonna say,
but
you know, the hardest, he will probably scrape the bottom of his diffs.
Yeah,
with 33s
probably.
So,
but we'll see how it goes. My delivery drivers apparently are all off-roaders as well, from UPS, FedEx, one of my Amazon drivers.
To the house or the warehouse?
The house here.
Okay.
Those guys, I had the guy that came and picked up the pallet for Australia.
Yeah.
He has an FJ Cruiser that he said that he loves going around. He was asking a ton of questions about the 4Runner. Mm-hmm. One of my FedEx guys was doing the same thing. My UPS guy was doing the same thing. So wow. it was just funny. The talking points I've been having, mm-hmm. conversations I've been having with my delivery drivers in the past 2 weeks or so.
Nice.
So I load them all up with swag and koozies and stickers and send them on their way. So shout out to you guys if you end up listening to the podcast as well. So
you remember when we were at Rough Stuff and when that UPS cute little girl UPS driver drove up?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. I saw her driving around my neighborhood.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah. I need to figure out a way to order more UPS packages, yeah. I think. Nice. Hopefully the assistant doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. Well, see, my shipping is through UPS, right? A lot of my shipping is through UPS. So I can just start shipping you some random UPS stuff.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just have it delivered to my house and I'll bring it down.
There we go. No, I was going to ship it from my house to your house.
Mm. That'll work too.
Okay. So you gotta be smarter than the system here, Jimmy.
Yeah. I'll just ship something as a return.
There we go. So other than that, other than the delivery drivers and having some fun conversations with people, my Comcast install guy for the warehouse, he's into off-roading. He has a Jeep and his buddy's got a Jeep and they're up on 35s and they've done just kind of mild stuff, but they both have lockers. And I was like, you need to go on the Rubicon then.
Yeah.
And I was like, you live in this area. And apparently they have some property up in the outside of Yuba City area. So they go up there. I think he said 45, 50 acres, something like that. So they just go up there and do all their off-roading on their property. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But I'm sure you don't get the same sights as what we have available
or obstacles.
Yeah. So, we'll see if anybody reaches back out to do some off-roading here. Mm-hmm. But Jesse. Jesse, Stovetop Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
He's planning on taking his 4Runner.
White Buffalo.
White Buffalo up on the Rubicon this year.
Yeah. So. We're going to pop his cherry.
Yes, sir.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So we are going to be doing that at some point this year. That'll be a lot of fun to get Jesse out there.
Absolutely.
And we need to get Brennan out there too.
Yeah.
The fifth gen Super White can do it just fine.
Mm-hmm. And he's getting a front bumper put on it.
He's getting a front bumper, some more high clearance bumpers. We'll have to take off his spare tire carrier.
Yeah.
But
maybe just pull off the rear bumper too.
Yeah.
The plastic part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If not, then it'll be off by the time we get through the trail. So just secure it to his roof when we're on our way out. But yeah, there's a couple of people I'm going to try my best to blackmail into going through. Truck Norris is one of them.
Yeah.
Going through the Rubicon this year.
He's been a little ways, hasn't he?
Has he? I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, I know that the Hardline Land Co. Mm-hmm. guys went all the way through.
Oh, nice.
In their Tacomas.
Good. So then Truck Norris has no excuses.
No, he can do it.
Good.
He might need a front locker.
I thought he had one.
Does he?
He had one put in.
Oh.
I don't know. I thought he had one put in. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah. I think he had the rear locker put in.
Okay. I thought he was an off-road.
No, he's a limited.
Yeah. Bougie. Bougie Norris.
Yeah. He got leather, but he has an 8-inch rear pumpkin.
Okay.
So he's got the tiny. He has like a small. He has the mini truck third bumpers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So okay.
Even more dangerous.
I thought those had the 8.2. Well, I guess if he has the locker put in, it'd be the 8-inch then.
No, I think the limited came with the smaller one.
Interesting. Okay.
Beer Andy, hit us up. Let us know.
Beer Andy's back.
Yay.
We heard from him after a month and a half hiatus there.
Yeah.
It was 2 months we haven't heard from him.
I know.
So Beer Andy's back.
Woo.
Congratulations.
Missed you, buddy.
Yeah, we did. We may have to fire Brian to get Beer Andy back again. So
I'm in. Let's do it.
Cool. Brian, you're gone. Sorry, buddy. The vote has been calculated and sorry, you're out. Beer Andy's back. And then on the last Thursday, guess what's also is back now? Kermit's AC is back.
Oh.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, buddy. So a girl Canic came over and worked on Kermit. And it literally was just, I wasn't sure if that's all it was. Plus, I didn't have any Freon to put back in it, R134. So we just swapped out that line, the hard line that goes from the from the firewall out through the grill and over to the dehydrator. So that the front line that goes from the hard line in front of the grill that goes over to the and plugs straight into the dehydrator, that got a hole worn in it because the previous owner, James, I'm looking at you, not this James, the Forerunner James.
Yeah,
but you are looking at me. Pre-Kermit James. I'm looking at you. So pre-Kermit James, when the winch and everything was put on, it was just kind of pushed back. And it pushed that hard line back and wedged it between the winch and the radiator and the external fan on the radiator. And so over time, that just wore a hole in it and chewed up the hard line.
The external fan on the radiator?
No, the hard line.
You said it pushed it back and hit the external fan on the radiator.
Yeah. So there's a push fan on the front of those radiators.
Is
on
there?
Those rigs. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a tiny little thing. It only covers like half of the radiator, but
yeah. I think that's because James is a real man and doesn't use his AC or need his AC.
I'm sure that's probably the case.
Yeah.
I am not a real man, apparently.
No. We all knew that.
Yeah. But then you're also calling Derek not a real man as well.
Yeah, so he's got full wits.
So if I get full wits, I get to be a real man with AC.
He's done every man challenge.
Okay.
There, I'll leave that
one. That's fair. So anyways, the Kermit has AC again. And it was funny because we went to, I was like, I want to reroute this line so we don't run into this issue in 20 years. And so we were sitting there and she goes, I'm not sure how you want to bend it. And I was like, it's like a hard line, like a brake line. You just kind of bend it and don't kink it. And she goes, I don't want to. I was like, okay, is it just because you don't want to mess it up? She goes, well, that, and it was really hard to find this freaking line. It took us 3 weeks of looking.
Where did you actually find it?
Rancho Toyota Recycling. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Why didn't you start there?
I did start there, but I didn't know which line to get and they didn't have anything in. Yeah. And I called there originally to find the line. I looked all over. We couldn't figure out what the part number was for the line, what the line was called, the official name of it. I called Toyota dealers. I called four or five pick and pull places. I looked on Rock Auto. I looked through AutoZone, Napa, O'Reilly, everybody I could think of, and Girl Canic did as well.
Wow.
And neither of us could find the part. And so finally I randomly called Rancho Toyota back up and I was like, hey, I think I have a part number now. And they were like, no, we're not finding anything under that part number. But we did just get a 1994 runner in, which is the same model as the 94, second gen 4Runner, a couple days ago. If you want to come on down, you can look at the part and see if A, it's still on the vehicle, and B, if it is the right part. So I went down there and I was looking at it and I was like, it looks like the right thing, but I'm not sure if that connection there is the correct connection, the one that I have. And so I had to go back home, look at mine, get pictures of my hard line, then go back to Rancho Toyota Recycling and say, go back, look at the vehicle and be like, okay, that is definitely the line I need. And then they pulled it in 5 minutes and had it for me.
Cool.
So just going through the trouble finding that line, that part, Girl Canic was like, I don't want to mess it up.
Right.
So I was like, all right, whatever. I'll mess it up. She goes, do you have a bender? And I was like, heck yeah, I got a pipe bender. I got two of them right here. Look at these guys. And I showed her my hands.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm a manly man. I can bend pipe, AKA little wimpy, little hard line.
Yeah.
So we took the old line that was all chewed up and worn through and bent it to create a template.
Cool.
Okay. Smart. And that way we could, you know, mess that line up while creating the template and then be really careful on the quote unquote new to me line.
Right.
So we did that and it worked out great. So now it runs up and over the winch and then back down and over to the dehydrator.
Nice.
So it's not hitting anything. It's not contacting anything, and it should last forever now.
Mm-hmm. You know, a trick that I do whenever, if I don't have a bender and I have to bend some like brake lines or something, mm-hmm. is I find like a round dowel or a piece of another big piece of pipe of some sort,
a PVC pipe,
like PVC or something, you know, just something else so that when you're pushing with your thumbs, you can't kink it. So mm-hmm. like, so you put the like line around the pipe, and that mm-hmm. way it's, you're not kinking the pipe. It's actually bending and morphing around the pipe that you're providing.
Yep.
So that's always a good one. That's, it helps you not break the line that mm-hmm. way. So
yeah, or get kinky with your line.
Yep.
Yeah. So
Kermit, or just get a little pipe bender.
Yeah, or a little pipe bender. You got those little are they gear wrench or are they crescent?
They're gear wrench
ones.
Yeah,
so you got some brake line benders from Gear Wrench.
I think, and I was like styles, I should just give you one.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, but I was sitting there, I was looking, I was like, we may have to drive up to Jimmy's and raid the shop real quick and come back with the brake line benders from Gear Wrench.
So. It's too bad you moved so far away from me.
I know. Me?
You're the one that moved.
Moved? It was a longer drive to get to you from where I used to be in Rancho. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was shorter distance as the crow flies, but having to go up through all the red lights.
Well, you should have moved closer, damn it.
I know, right? So anyways, AC is back in Kermit. And Kermit is pretty much like, I don't want to say done, but he's at the point where I wanted to get him to after the 3-4 swap.
Cool. So now you're going to take it to get reffed?
Hopefully. Yeah. And so what I've been hearing about that, I've put a little bit more research now into actually reffing it. And depending on the referee you go to, technically the crossover pipe that you have to do in order to get the exhaust to route on the other side of the vehicle from the gas tank, mm-hmm. Is illegal in California.
Of
you have to dump the exhaust on the factory side of the vehicle, which is problematic because there's a big gas tank right there.
Yes.
And so, apparently you can relocate your gas tank in California. So I've figured out kind of the rules on gas tanks here.
Okay.
And so the rules in California are interesting, involving gas systems, your gas system, right? So you can relocate your gas tank and you can use other gas tanks. You do not have to use the factory gas tank that came with your vehicle.
Okay.
You have to, though, use a factory gas tank that came with some vehicle.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, but your vehicle's EVAP system has to be all intact.
Got it.
So your factory's your vehicle factory's EVAP system has to be intact, but you can use any gas tank as long as it came on a vehicle from a factory.
Oh, interesting.
And so you can relocate it, do whatever you want. You can run a 35 gallon tank from the F-150 I have sitting outside, from my 2013 F-150, and just plumb it into the 4Runner's 1994 EVAP system.
Oh, cool.
So you can do all that. You just cannot run fuel cells.
Right.
And the EVAP system has to be in place. So I figured that out and I was like, oh, interesting. Too bad I put my dual battery system where I was going to put it, you know, an F-150 20 gallon tank. Mm-hmm. But the what that means, though, is that when I take it to ref, the referee is probably going to tell me I've got to relocate the gas tank. And that the exhaust is going to take a priority over the gas tank because they have to share space right there.
That's so weird that you can relocate the gas tank and move it somewhere else, but you can't relocate your exhaust.
No idea. Right? No idea. It seems very superfluous to me. I'm like, I don't like, it seems stupid, but like, as long as I get it, there's two reasons for having the smog emissions system in California. One is to make sure that vehicle emissions run so that we can have clean air to breathe. Mm-hmm. And the other one is to make sure that people don't do stupid things to their vehicles and then sell them so that somebody else is going to have to deal with something that could be potentially dangerous.
Sure.
That's the whole point of the smog system in California. I'm under the assumption that you should be able to do whatever you want to your vehicle as long as the emissions run clean. Mm-hmm. Then when you go to sell the vehicle, you have to put it back to safety standards. That's what I feel it should be.
Sure.
But yeah, anyway, so if I'm like, if I run the exhaust on the other side of the vehicle, it's safer than running it next to my gas tank.
Yeah.
I'm not messing with the EVAP system on the gas tank. So I'm not risking having things leak or rerouting and having to cut new holes in the vehicle. It's safer than moving the gas tank and putting the exhaust down the correct side of the vehicle that they want it down. Mm-hmm. But I have heard that people have gone to the referee after doing a 3.4 swap and doing a crossover pipe, that the referee has just told them, run a pipe, just make a stupid little fitting and dump it before the gas tank. Dump your exhaust before the gas tank.
And fit a cat and a muffler in there?
Yep. Just run it underneath your T case. And so you have it dump out the driver's side of the vehicle, mm-hmm. bend down below the T case, put your cat and your O2 sensor there in an extra pipe on a flange or something that starts at the bend and the flange up at the top, have it come under the T case and dump just right there. So you have this abomination hanging below the vehicle, but you pass the smog emissions right. and get refereed. And then you just take all that off and run the smog normally down the driver's side of the vehicle.
And never worry and about
whenever it you go back to get smogged, whenever you go back and go through your smog process each year, every 2 years, you just throw that abomination back on the vehicle.
Right. So you have a multiple flange that exactly. you can put on and put off.
Exactly.
Like some people might do with catalytic converters.
Yeah. May or may not do. Yeah. So I think that's what I may end up doing. I'm going to look around and try and find a referee that'll be like, if that's what you need me to do, I'll do it. But mm-hmm. this is really what I'm just going to do with the vehicle
yeah.
and see if they reason with the safety standards of it. So
sure.
Other than that, AC is running great. Over the weekend, I went over to my buddy's house in, I don't want to say where he lives, but John Allen, who is a phenomenal master. Or I don't want to say master. I'm not sure exactly what his title is for BART, but he is a fabricator for BART.
Yeah, he's down in the Bay.
Down in the Bay Area. Phenomenal welder. And he has installed and put in Premier Welders on a lot of vehicles.
Yes, he has. Hasn't he written the book?
He literally wrote the install manual for the 22RE. And putting a Premier power welder into with a 22RE. The install manual that Premier gives when you purchase a Premier for a 22RE. He wrote that.
Yeah. That's cool.
So he's very adept with Premier welders. He's the one that talked me into getting a Premier welder. So I took the 4Runner Kermit over to his place and mm-hmm. we installed in the Premier welder over the weekend. So I now have a high amperage, 165 amp alternator that pegs 14.4 volts at idle, which is awesome.
That's crazy.
So my AGM batteries are much happier now. It's all set up, ready to go. The install went fairly smooth. The issue we had was with one of the nut certs that we put into the fender.
Oh, really?
We had everything, the brackets and the supports for the bracket all mocked up and ready to go. And when we welded it together onto the plate, it warped 1/8 of an inch. Mm. And it warped in the direction that it's really hard to bend metal back.
Yeah.
to correct the warping, get the holes to line back up. So we ended up stripping the nutsert, trying to get the bolts in.
To align.
And then it was really difficult getting the nutsert out and putting another nutsert in. So we wasted about an hour and a half dealing with that stupid nutsert and figuring, and the problem from it warping after we welded it.
So did you guys make a bracket from scratch?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. Because then I wonder how the manual, if he's going to write the manual for this one, how that's going to work.
I don't think he is. It came with a manual.
Oh, it did? Okay.
It's the problem, though, is that the manual didn't say where to locate your welder, where to put mm-hmm. it. But it had all the hookups and where you plug in the different wiring. Is there anything for the Tacoma, which mm-hmm. is the 3.4 engine that they have it for?
Right.
So it was really cool. I'm super happy. I'm really extremely happy about getting a premier welder, and having a portable welder available on the trails now. The problem I'm going to have is now I got to learn how to stick weld.
Is that really a bad thing?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. It's a good problem to have. So in doing this process, you know, I talked with John a lot about how stick welding works. What are the different rods that you use? What do the numbers mean of the rods?
Yeah.
What do I need to be looking out for as I'm learning stick welding? So it's really cool. We probably spent on the entire install. The install probably took us 3 hours, but we were there all day long because we're chatting about welding and stick welding and how to properly use the welder, the premier welder, and some of its characteristics that people sometimes think, you know, this welder isn't working properly when it actually is. The alternator makes weird noises because it's a high frequency alternator. And so we probably spent, I don't know, 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours actually like talking about random stuff, having lunch, going and getting the metal, the scrap metal to make the bracket, and then dealing with that stupid nutsert. And then everything else was only like 2 to 3 hours of the install part.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome though.
Yeah, it's really cool. And in doing all that and talking with him about the benefits of MIG welding versus stick welding versus TIG welding, I got to pick his brain about all that. And, you know, what are some of the differences? You know, can I just run a spool gun? Because I know how to MIG weld. Mm-hmm. So can't I just run a spool gun off of the Premier? Which you can. But he said that if you have the stick welding available, learn to stick weld, carry rod with you. The major benefit is you can, as long as you have the right rod, you can do any process you want with stick welding.
Yeah.
That's why the industry is, you know, any pipeliners, they stick weld. Because all you need is a different rod, and you can do aluminum, stainless, you can do cast iron, you can do leaf spring, spring steel, you can do regular stamp steel, regular steel. There's a lot of different stuff. You can do it in wind and not in wind. And so he said you can cut metal with it too, if you want to, with stick welding. Essentially like a torch cutting or kind of thing.
Interesting. I haven't seen that.
So, he said, if you have the stick welder available, just learn to stick weld, carry some rod with you, and you can do any process anytime you want out on the trails.
Cool.
So, I've decided I've had some questions show up on my Instagram feed when I posted that I got the welder installed about, you know, how does this compare to like the Carnage welder or Ready welder or the new Bun welder that's out from Sue and Chai?
Yeah.
Or just, you know, sticking two batteries together and using some jumper cables to create an arc. And so I want to go through and do an episode on what are the different styles of portable welders out there.
Okay.
How do they compare against each other? And what do you get with one versus giving up with another? And what are the pluses and negatives of it all?
Sure.
So that's going to be, I think, a fun episode to do that have kind of come out from this process.
Yeah.
But I still need to finish up a couple things on Kermit.
Okay.
So when we went to install it, the line running back to the battery, all we had sitting around after our store runs was 8-gauge wire, which is only good for like 65, 70 amps.
Right.
And
how many amps does this go?
This alternator puts out 165 amps.
Whoop.
So I need to redo that line. We put it in as an 8-gauge wire just to get me home, and it'll work for getting home as long as I'm not, you know, pulling a high draw, running my winch, anything like that, welding.
So where does this wire go to and from?
The batteries in the back.
To the alternator?
To the box.
Okay.
So the way that Premiers work is when you buy a Premier welder, you get an alternator and a welder. And the way that the system works is the way a normal vehicle system works is the alternator goes straight into your vehicle's wiring system. Mm-hmm. The way a Premier welder system works is the alternator creates all your power, and then that goes into the welding box, that blue box that you see people plug the leads into.
Yeah.
And then it goes out from there. That box regulates the power for your entire vehicle, for the welding, whatever it is.
So from the box, it goes to your wire system.
Correct. Yeah.
So instead of the, so it goes from battery or from, yeah, I get from where's the, from battery to alternator, alternator to wiring system normally. With the Premier, it goes from battery to alternator, alternator to the regulator, the Premier box, and then wiring system.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Technically, no, it goes the opposite way. Because your vehicle system is after the battery. So your vehicle is plugged into the battery.
Okay.
And you run your vehicle system off of your battery.
Right.
And so...
So it goes all... So the alternator is the starting spot?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the alternator generates your power.
Right.
It's the power generator.
Right.
The electricity then goes from there into the regulator.
Yeah.
On the Premier, on the welder. And then from there, it goes back to your battery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where now your battery is kind of like the central storage point for all the power in your vehicle.
Sure. Understood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, I guess I always think of it because when you turn your vehicle on, you're drawing from your battery for your starter.
Correct. Yeah.
So I've always thought battery's the starting spot.
Oh, no, nope. It's a starting point in starting your vehicle.
Right.
But yeah, it's not the starting point of where the electricity is starts from.
Well, it doesn't generate from the battery.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, normal vehicle wiring, you will see a lot of vehicles wired directly to the alternator. And then you have a connection that the system then goes from the alternator into your main control box, your fuse box, that which your battery is then hooked up to and the alternator is hooked up to.
Right.
And then this system, the way Premier's work is, it puts the battery first, it dumps all the energy or the power into the battery, and then your vehicle and your fuse box for your vehicle and everything else, all your accessories and everything goes off of the battery.
Okay, you lost me, but...
Because
did you mean battery as in the control box for the Premier?
No.
Okay. So, but the battery's always been the central holding spot for the power.
Yes. So it has been, except the battery is connected to your fuse box. Your battery typically, in most OEM applications, does not get connected directly to your alternator. Your alternator goes a lot of times through the fuse box and then to the battery.
I don't think my 22RE is that way. I think it goes straight from my battery to the alternator.
Okay. Look at your plugs when you get home.
I will. Okay. I mean, I'm pretty...
Because my 22RE has the vehicle wiring harness plugged directly into the alternator, and then that goes over to the fuse box, and the battery is connected to the fuse box.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I have a red lead that goes straight from my battery to my alternator.
Then that was probably added aftermarket.
Maybe.
So, but anyways, it can be done either way. Power works. Yeah. It's a two-way system. It works like an air system. So once you get a water system kind of thing. So once you get voltage set up into a system, it's free flowing through the system. So, yeah. So the Premier is installed. I need to clean up the wiring, add in some wiring looms. I need to add in a throttle control. And I need to get rid of my rag joint. So when we put the Premier alternator in, the previous alternator, Ori, when he did my engine swap, he ground down the side of my alternator.
Oh, yeah.
Because the engine sat lower in the engine compartment where we designed it, and it came in contact. The alternator contacts my rag joint on my steering.
Yes.
I forgot to grind down the side of the alternator, so my rag joint is hitting my alternator when I'm steering, and it's just too tight. I don't want it that tight there, so I'm going to delete the rag joint and put in some steering shaft U-joints on it, and that needs to get done before I drive the vehicle again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because I'm sure the engine flexes one way or another, and it could conflict that in the wrong time.
And it did it a lot on the way home. Luckily, I was driving mostly on the freeway straight the way home.
Yeah.
But whenever I took a turn, the steering would completely lock up because the rag joint would get caught on the alternator, and I'd get caught in the steering. I have to slam on the brakes and like not go driving into stuff.
Yeah.
Unjam it off the alternator.
Sounds dangerous.
It was very dangerous. I was very worried. I was like, well, I can't drive this anymore until that gets fixed. So I got to redo that 8-gauge wire. I need to put in a throttle control, and I need to do some more wiring loom to clean up the wiring and redo the steering U-joints, put steering U-joints in there.
Cool.
And before, and I need to do that before next weekend because I'm leading a snow wheeling trip for the Mad Hatters March 13th.
I thought you said that you aren't sure if that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen in the original place we thought it was going to happen. Ah, gotcha. We're still having a trip. It's just not going to be in the original location.
Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But once that is done, Kermit's going to be great. And then I'll find something else to tear apart and get into.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah. I think my next project after that will be tearing apart the dash, putting in a Bluetooth stereo, and finding a way to mount a tablet in there.
In the dash?
Mm-hmm. In the dash, on the dash, somewhere with the dash.
Sure.
But I'll have to take the dash apart to create a flange system to flange the tablet mount to.
Yeah, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
I got my mob armor for Clifford.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
I actually installed it today. And I was going to put my phone on it. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, give it 24 hours to cure, yeah, for sure.
I was all excited because I drove Clifford down here and I was like, oh, I'm going to use my new phone mount. And I was like, oh, dang it. It's like staring me in the face, you know? Yeah. Like, I want to use you.
Yeah.
And I even put the thing on the back of my phone already.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I'm all ready.
Nice.
But yeah, and then I was thinking of, there's a few things I want to do to Clifford, and there might be a few things that I want to do to Bobcat before Cruise Moab.
Okay.
And so I've got a little laundry list of items that I want to take care of.
Gotcha.
Primarily on Clifford is the gas tanks.
Oh, you're going to fix those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that'd be, I did it before going to Moab, you know, by not knowing where my gas level is on one tank and knowing more or less where I run out of gas on another tank. But I figured if we're just blasting one day, it would probably be wise to fix that, which isn't too terrible of a problem or too hard to fix from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you can loosen up all the bolts on the bed and then just tilt the side up that you need.
Yeah.
Take this, loosen one side up to remove the side that you need to take off.
Yep.
And then tilt it up so then you can just get access to the top of the gas tanks.
Yeah.
So I might try that. And
you should just, while you're doing that, put that side on hydraulic lifts so that you can have a dump trailer that dumps sideways, a dump bed.
Yeah. I don't know how, I don't think that would work exactly right, but that's a cool idea. So I want to get those done and then a few little other things inside of there to get done. Maybe do a Bluetooth or a ham radio in there.
Yeah.
In the meantime.
Yeah. I really think that we should throw the FT400 into Clifford.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot more space in Clifford. It's a bigger cab.
Yeah.
And you should get that Bluetooth radio for Charlotte.
I'm probably going to get the Bluetooth radio for Charlotte. I was considering throwing the FT400 into Samantha.
Oh. I mean, you could, but Samantha's not going to be up and running by Cruise Moab.
No.
So we need to get you a radio for Clifford.
Well, I mean, I could do the radio with the antenna outside. That works fairly well.
Yeah.
And especially if we're close to each other.
Yeah.
It works fine.
Yeah. So what about the days when I run away from you?
I'll probably be in Bobcat.
True.
And I'll have a 50 water.
There we go. Cool. I think that would work great. The other thing is we could set Bobcat on.
I'm pretty sure Clifford could outrun you on the freeway.
Towing. Think so. I don't think so.
No? Challenge.
I don't think so.
Once we get into Nevada, it's on.
Oh, man. I'll be towing to Cruise Moab. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. With the F-150?
With the F-150.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. If the secretary ends up coming, definitely we'll be towing.
Yeah.
If I'm just driving myself, we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm totally down to drive Kermit, especially with AC. I just don't want to put 2,000 miles on the IROX.
Yeah.
They're already getting beat up, and I'm like, I'm starting to look at probably getting new tires here this year.
We'll go buy some like 37s.
No.
Worn down 37s.
No. I'm not going down.
Throw the IROX on the roof.
Nope.
Drive to Moab on the 37s. When you get there, swap back onto your 40s.
Oh, I see what you...
Wheel around.
Where am I going to carry the 40s? Put them in Clifford? Are you going to carry them for me?
No, I said put them on the roof. You were down the freeway, you could throw them on the roof.
I can't lift those onto the roof. That'd be 500 pounds on the roof. I don't know if Kermit's roof will take that.
Doesn't one of your neighbors have a forklift?
I don't know. That's a good question. But I can't put them on the roof anyways. I've got antennas on my roof.
Yeah. Well, put it through the center of your wheel.
Oh, man. So anyways, yeah, we'll see. I just don't want to put 2,000 miles on the IROCs.
No, I don't blame you.
But
that's why I don't buy IROCs.
Yeah. Well, I don't... whatever. I love the performance of my IROCs, and I will probably end up getting them again. Mm-hmm. I am looking at the Cooper SDT Pros, though.
Nice.
So we'll save that for another day.
Yeah.
A couple of fun updates about Morflate, though, is that Morflate is officially... I just redid all my business memberships for the year. So Morflate is a business, a vendor member, a vendor supporter, I guess, business member, which it costs a hell of a lot more than a regular typical peasant member for Calfor, Corva, TLCA, and iRate 4x4.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll get, we're going to do a big giveaway. We're going to do a giveaway on iRate 4x4. And that's going to get posted today. So as of listening to this episode, there should be a giveaway for a Morflate stubby and whatever leads, kind of same thing of what we're doing here on the podcast. So if you want another chance to win a Morflate stubby, go check out iRate 4x4.
Cool. So did you work that out with Austin?
Yeah. We had a nice phone chat.
He's so a cool guy.
Yeah. He is really neat.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. I like what he's, I really, really like what he's doing. I like the way his brain works. I like the vision and the goal of it. He's trying to get it all up and running, and there's absolutely 100% costs with running a big forum board. And so I wanted to help support that and keep it free for the members, like keep it free for people to use.
For Joe Schmo.
For Joe Schmo. So I really like what he's doing, and and keep the ads off of it. Don't let it turn into what Pirate turned into.
Yeah.
So after talking with him, hearing his interview on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, I'm a big believer in what he's doing with that community. So I wanted to step up and support it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's go listen to that episode. One, because it's a great episode and he's got a great story to tell. Two, because I was on it. But it was fun to interview him and get to know him. It was fun to have him, like, he just sort of wandered into camp one day. Like, he was camp sort of down, like, not terribly far from us, you know, he was as far from camp as the trike circle race with the
Ultra Threes,
the EV guys. He was the opposite direction. And I think he was just walking through sort of promoting iRate 4x4, and he ended up like coming back every night and hanging out and drinking whiskey and, you know, just chilling. And
nice.
You know, I got to know him one of the nights and I was like, man, we need to record with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, but we can't do it now because Jason can barely stand.
Yeah.
And he has campfire narcolepsy happening.
I've had to record completely drunk before.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't even come out. No one's even using it. So,
I said, come back in the morning. And he did. And he came back. Nice. And I was like, Jason, let's go record this real quick. And so we ended up. But it was fun. It was great to sit down with him, chat with him, get to know him off air and on air.
Nice.
And hear his story. So, I think it was a bonus episode. I don't know what number it was on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. But go check it out.
Yep. Very cool. So a lot of cool stuff going on. A lot of cool plans in the works. And from both the Snail Armor side, Morflate side, the podcast side, like I said, you know, 2020 was supposed to be the year we were going to do a bunch of meetups. Didn't happen. So we're going to try and make that happen in 2021 here. We'll see how many we can get to.
Definitely.
Yeah. Go leave us a review on iTunes. We're giving away a winch to the first 500 reviews. Once we reach that, we'll give away a full winch and make sure you're in on that. So,
yeah, if you want to get a hold of us another way, you can email us, Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. You can find me on Instagram, snailtrail4x4. You can find Tyler at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. Check out Morflates, check out Snail Armor, and check out YouTube.
Sounds good. Do you got any final words for everybody out there?
Stick welders are awesome.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Yeah. Ready, bro.
What kind of shoes do ninjas wear?
I don't know.
Sneakers.
Mm. Because they're sneaky?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're stealthy.
Okay.
And there's no shoes called stealthers.
Oh. There's. Could they be Skechers?
Probably. Definitely not Crocs.
And what kind of shoes does an artsy ninja wear? Skechers sneakers?
Yep.
Ah, ha, ha.